All right, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Verse 21. We have been going through Matthew in the youth and VSM, and it's been good. So I just figured I might just go ahead and continue on. We've been going through the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and we get to here. But I want to ask you, have you ever tried to be a part of something, but you couldn't be a part of it? Whether it was a group of friends, whether it was a team, whether it was a club. This is my favorite. Everybody around you gets invited to go do something, but you. You feel left out. You feel not worthy. Not good enough, right? I can remember being in elementary school and being in class. They would take these kids out of class, and I would be wondering, why are these kids getting taken out of class? It's because they were gifted and talented, and I was not gifted and talented, right? I guess they would go play on the computer and show their gifts and their talents. Well, what's funny is we get left out of things, but then sometimes we turn into the people that begin to leave other people out of things, right? Sometimes we just say, you can come over to my house, but don't tell them. I don't want them to come over, right? Johnny down the street, he's annoying. Don't invite him over because he gets on my nerves, right? Or these people, they're a little bit too rough. We don't want to have them over. They don't look like us. They don't dress like us. They're not in the same economic class as us. They are just rough. We don't want them around us, right? Or sometimes you get mad at somebody and you say, I don't want to be around them. I just don't like them. We are inconsistent individuals. Do we know this? We are very, very inconsistent. We say we want to do one thing, but we end up doing the other, right? Paul said it in Romans 7:15, he said, "For I do not understand my own actions," right? And then he says, "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." I find myself often in that. I don't know if you do as well, but I know I'm there sometimes. We have to quit living life on cruise control, y'all. We have to quit living life just coasting by. We have to quit telling ourselves that if we just go through the motions, that we're doing enough. If we go through the motions with our neighbor, it's enough, right? And pretend like we love them, right? Then maybe it'll appear like we love them. If I pretend, maybe I can kind of get by and make it look like I love them. Or if I do just enough, maybe they'll think that I like them. We want to do the bare minimum sometimes. The bare minimum to get by, right? Because someone is hard to love. We create our own social club. We create our own group. And if you don't meet our requirements, right? If you don't meet our standards, then you can't belong in our group. I'll love you from a distance, right? I love you, but don't come around me. I love you, but don't talk to me. I love you, but when I see you, I'm going to turn the other way. If we love someone like that, y'all, we really don't love them. If we love people like that, we really don't love them. And if we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves, then maybe we have to reconsider our love for Jesus. I'm not here to give the same message as Doug preached this morning. I promise you, we didn't collaborate on this. But it might feel like it's the same, but it's just what God laid on my heart. We rather fit Jesus into our bubble, into our life. We say, "Jesus, I want to do this. Is this okay?" But it won't be okay. Jesus, the standard for us is living for Him. We have to live for Him. It's not doing what we want to first and then saying, "Hey, Jesus, come along with us." No, it's us going with Him. His way is better than our way. His way is better than our way. We can't halfway love Jesus. You understand? We can't halfway love God. Either you love Him or you don't. Right? Either you're sold out or you're not. Either you believe in him or you don't. Jesus wants us to be all in. He wants us to be all in, and he wants us to be serious about our relationship with him. He wants us to be serious. So we're here in Matthew tonight, and Jesus is in, he's in the Sermon on the Mount, and he is almost done giving this message. And he's really laying out for the people right here. He's just really telling it straight shooting, okay? And he's basically saying, are you a fan or your follower? Let's stand as we read. Matthew 7:21-23. It says this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Right? But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your word this evening, God. I pray that you would just eliminate any distractions, God, but help us to apply what your word says to our lives this evening. Lord, we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so my first point for us today is that belonging to the kingdom of heaven is not just based on our words. Belonging to the kingdom of heaven is not just based on our words. There is no sweet talking our way into the kingdom. There is no sweet talking our way into the kingdom, right? You can have an intellectual understanding of the Greek and Hebrew of every word in the Bible if you want to. That's not good enough. It's good, but it's not good enough. You can know, you can say all the New Testament books. You can name all the major and minor prophets. That's good. That's great. But it's not good enough. You can memorize scripture, right? John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, right? Or John 11:35, it just says Jesus wept. You could memorize them all if you wanted to. But it would not be good enough if you did not believe in Jesus. I'm just here to tell you, our words don't matter if we don't believe. Our words don't matter if we don't believe. They don't mean anything. Your words don't mean anything if you're not living like Christ. We can talk all we want to, right? You parents in here, y'all know. You ask your child to do something, and they lie straight to your face. Right? They say, yes, Dad, I'll do it. They ask you, you ask them to, hey, clean your room. Right? They say, in a minute, Mom, I'll do it as soon as I get done playing this game. And what happens? You come back and the room's still not clean. They sound like they meant it. They may have promised you that they meant it. But it doesn't matter how cute they are. It doesn't matter how serious they sound. It doesn't matter how sweet they sound. The words that come out of their mouth are often anything to get them out of doing the one thing that you told them to do. I used to lie to my parents all the time. I know. I'm the best of liars in my family. My brother and sister would say that. I used to try to get out of everything. It's not about what we say. It's not all about what we say. We have to be doing the will of God. This is what Jesus is trying to drive home. We have to be doing the will of God. We have to be doing it correctly. We have to be doing it urgently. The time is now. It's not when we get back from vacation this summer. It's not when we have our Monday off. It's not when we go to work to stop. No, we go to work and we continue to do the will of God. On our vacation, we continue to do the will of God. This summer, we continue to do the will of God. It's every day. It's 24/7. That is what he has called us to. It's no more putting it off. No more putting it off. Right? Jesus in this first verse makes it clear. If we say, Lord, Lord, but haven't done the will of the Father, we won't see the kingdom. Let's not think for a second that this is a matter of earning badges and earning merits to belong to the kingdom. Ephesians 2:8 says this. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So Jesus really gets down to the matter of the heart in all of this. It's a matter of the heart. Our words are nothing without the heart. A few weeks ago, we had a student ministry retreat, and I was talking to the kids about artificial intelligence. There's a thing called ChatGPT, and I don't know if you guys have heard of ChatGPT, but it's basically the new Google, right? You can enter something in the chat, and it'll tell you how to do it. You can say to chat, how do I solve the world's problems? And it would try to give you some type of answer. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, but what's happening is a lot of people just use it now, and they're, you know. I mean, me and Michael, we used it a lot. But they're not learning. But I asked Chad a couple weeks ago. I asked Chad, I said, can you pray a prayer to accept Christ in your heart? And this is what Chad said. Said, Lord Jesus, I come before you today humbly acknowledging my need for you. I confess that I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Yet I believe with all my heart that you died for my sins and rose again. Please forgive me, cleanse me, and make me new. I invite you to enter my heart as Lord and Savior. This is what a computer said. Teach me to walk in your ways and to leave behind my old life. Thank you for your boundless love and for your gift of eternal life. In your precious name I pray. Amen. It's so elegant. It's so real. It feels real, at least. But the one thing that is lacking is the heart. The one thing that is lacking is the human body, the heart. The flesh, the soul. You can say whatever you want to. You can say it well. I know I'm a good talker. I can talk to anybody. I was in class giving sometimes speeches on something that I didn't know because I had to make it. If we say words without the heart, they're just words, y'all. Romans 10:9 says this. It says this, because if you confess with your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one is saved. The words we say without the heart are just words. If I love, I should want to show love through my actions, right? And if we love God, we should be doing the will of God instead of doing things our way. This is what he wants. He wants his way. God wants his way. Jesus wants his way. And he wants his will to be done. Psalms 18:30 says this. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Belonging to the kingdom of heaven starts with a love for Christ. Because we love Christ, we should be doing things for Christ. We should be doing things of Christ. He tells us to love like him in John 13:34, right? It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it talks about the will of God. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. The will of Christ is all throughout the Bible. If we want to do the will of God, it starts with the word. And again, I don't mean to repeat what Doug was saying this morning, what he's been saying these past couple of weeks, but it could just be summed up to Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Doing this is to our benefit. It's time to trust in Him. It's time to trust in His Word. His ways are better. His way is the right way. So we can't just talk our way into heaven. It's in those who do His will. But while we do His will, we can't stop having a relationship with Him. While we do His will, while we keep serving, we have to keep having a relationship with Christ. He says in Matthew 7:22, it says, "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?'" Belonging to the kingdom is not just about the things we do. It's not just about the things we say, but it's not just about the things we do. When we stop talking to God, but think we're doing godly things, it's like giving someone the silent treatment. Someone that we love, the silent treatment, right? You still make them dinner, right? Maybe. You still try to take care of their needs, but you don't talk to them. Your relationship is actually falling apart, but you're still just going through the motions because you haven't talked about anything. You haven't talked about anything hard. You haven't talked about the sin that's going on. So you just stop talking at all. But you keep busy, because if we keep busy, then maybe we'll figure it out, right? Just like with our words, if the heart is not in the right place, it doesn't matter. But just as I serve, if my heart is not in the right place, it does not matter. The reason why we should be doing anything is because we love the Lord. The reason why we should be doing anything is because we love the Lord. Why should you face the next work day with joy? Because you love the Lord. Why should you face the battle that is ahead of you? Because you love the Lord. Why should you continue to love your family, even when they're getting on your last nerve? Because you love the Lord. And the only reason why you should be serving people is because you love the Lord. But if you're doing all these things without love, if you're doing all these things without believing in Jesus, then what has really happened is that you've made an idol out of serving. We all know this, right? If you serve Him without believing Him, you still don't believe in Jesus. You can serve all you want to, but if you haven't trusted in Him, and if you want to do good, if you want to be morally right, that's not good enough. If you're doing things solely to please people, that's not good enough. Serving people without a relationship with Christ is just looking for affirmation from others, right? So to the one that has not believed, to the one that's here, maybe you're here and you haven't believed in Christ, believe in Him today. Believe in Him today. But to the one who has believed, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower? Are you a fan of Him or are you really following Him? Anybody can say the name Jesus. But it's different to follow Him and to be in uncomfortable situations because you're truly following Him. Are you following Him this evening? Some of us in here might say, you know, well, I believe in Jesus, right? But how was your walk this past week? How has your walk been the past 2 weeks with Him? How's your walk with Christ been the past month? What Jesus is getting to is that we are all going to face Him one day. We are all going to face Him one day. And I know that I'm young, but I kind of figured out we all going to die. You know, when you're young, you feel like you're invincible. You feel like you can do anything. I can lift anything. I can do anything. But as you start to get older, just me and my friend, we were talking the other day. And we started to figure out life is precious. And we are all due one day to meet Jesus and to meet God. What will he say to you? Hebrews 9:27 says this. Y'all know this one. I know y'all know. And I know this is the Sunday night crowd. I know some of us in here know our word really well. But I really want us to, just for this last 5 minutes, if you will, just to look in inwardly. It says in Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And just as it is appointed for man once to die, once, and after that comes judgment." We're going to be judged. We're going to be judged. Not on much, not about how much we sin. Not about how much good that we did. It's not going to be about how many times we came to church Sunday night. Sunday morning, it's not going to be about how many times we served at VBS. It's not. It's not going to be about that stuff. It's going to be about if we believe in Jesus. If we really believe in Jesus. If he is the Lord and Savior of our heart. I'm not here to make anybody second guess tonight. That's not my goal. I don't want you to second guess your salvation. But I do want you to know that you know. I want you to know that you know that you know. That you know that Christ is your Lord and Savior. You might say, "Well, Josh, I've been involved in this church for 20 years. Okay, good. But do you believe in Jesus? Have you really trusted him? Or have you mouthed some words without your heart? Have you really trusted him, or have you done some actions and some service?" I'll never forget this conversation I had with my dad. When we were coming home from elementary school, he picked me up, and I was just curious, you know. I asked him, "Hey, Dad, I'm trying to get to heaven. You know, what do you got to do?" He said, "I'm trying to go, Dad, where you're going." He said, "You can't go unless you believe, Josh." And he just looked at me as plain as can be. He said, "I can't get you there. I know where I'm going." But he told me, he said, "If you don't believe, I'm sorry." And I was like, "Oh, man, that hurts." But he said, "It's true. Only you can believe in Christ. Only you can choose him. It can't be your mom. It can't be your dad. It can't be your friends. Only you can choose him." Have you made that choice? Man, if you made that choice, praise God. If you made that choice, maybe your relationship with God is not where it needs to be tonight. It can be a night where you restore it. Maybe you made the choice and you've just done a lot of serving but haven't kept that relationship up. Tonight's the night where you can restore it and say, "Man, I want to have a relationship that's real and that's active. I don't just want to go through the motions." You have to be the one to know in your heart what's going on. If you believed in him or if you haven't. If you're here and you haven't trusted in him, maybe you've been here forever. Maybe you've been here, today's your first day. But if you're here and you haven't trusted on Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that tonight. It says if you believe and confess, it says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, But you have to believe in your heart. You have to believe. I'm going to invite Dale back up here, and we're going to have a word of invitation. I just want to invite you guys to really look at your heart this evening. What have you been doing? it's like self-reflection. I'm a big reflector. I sit in my house and I just oftentimes think about what I've been doing. Sometimes I'm like, man, that is not good. Maybe that's you. Tonight's a time just to get right. You can get right with Christ. Maybe you got some sin in your life. You need to come out here and just confess it. You can do that. But right now is that time. Let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just thank you for your word. God, help us to understand the magnitude of this, Lord, that we don't want to be fans of you, Lord. We don't want to just be people that come here and hear your word every day but miss the mark because we haven't trusted on you as Lord and Savior. God, help us to understand that it is an individual walk that we have to live. God, help us to understand that we will meet you one day and that you will judge us based on if we have trusted in your Son or not. God, help us to understand that this relationship, if it has fallen away, Lord, that now is a time to get real. Lord, we love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.